Ever felt a stranger sneaking a look at your phone or laptop? Well, when you connect to public Wi-Fi, that could easily be the case. Any hacker on the same network can get access to your private information like credit card numbers, bank details, and more. And even when you're at home, Australian internet providers are required by law to store logs of your metadata for at least 2 years. That's why I use ExpressVPN, and you should too. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts 100% of my network data and reroutes it through a secure server, so my data and information stays private, whether I'm at home or on the go. And it couldn't be easier to use. Just tap one button on your device's phone, laptop, smart TV, and that's it. So whether you're browsing, streaming content, shopping, or paying bills online, ExpressVPN is one of the easiest ways to protect your personal information. Just visit expressvpn.com/4bc and get an extra 3 months on a 1 year package. Conditions apply. That's expressvpn.com/4bc.
You're listening to Luke Bradnam, filling in for Spencer Howson on 4BC 1116.
Hey, good morning to you. Big show we've had today. A lot of people getting in contact with us with regards to our chat about an hour ago with the Mayor of Toowoomba, Paul Antonio, and the fact that neither the state or federal government have responded to any of his questions that he's asked on behalf of his community with regards to what would be the COVID quarantine facility that was proposed for Toowoomba that's been smacked on the head through the week. And a lot of people staggered by that. But if you missed our chat, you can go to 4bc.com.au. It's up ready for you to listen to as a podcast. And also up there is our chat earlier this morning with Jai Arrow from the Queensland State of Origin team in camp down on the Gold Coast at Sheridan Mirage ahead of Wednesday night's big opening State of Origin game in Townsville. Just reading some news with regards to what's happening in Victoria. And the COVID outbreak, it has grown by 5 cases today, now sitting at 70. So who knows exactly what is going to go on there with regards to our borders being closed to Victoria. Can't imagine they're going to open up anytime soon. But if you'd like to weigh in on it, 131-873 is the open line number. Right now, Bill Potts from Potts Lawyers. He's the past president of the Queensland Law Society. We thought we'd get Bill on to chat about these ankle bracelets that have been in the news over the last couple of days and just how effective they are. G'day, Bill. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Not too bad, Luke, and good morning to your listeners.
Yeah, so apparently these ankle bracelets, they don't work if the 4G reception isn't up to scratch. Where do you sit on the effectiveness of these ankle bracelets, Bill?
I think that they're more for show rather than for effect. Often we were told by the government, the police minister and the like, that these were actually going to prevent crime. In fact, all they do is tell the public where people were at the time. So they're evidence that a crime may have occurred or the person was present in that area at the time, but it actually doesn't prevent crime itself. So in terms of their effectiveness, I think it's more about public profile than it is about substance.
Yeah, Bill, can I tell you my story? Because I've been fairly fortunate in so much as I haven't been a victim of crime for a long time, and I delved into that world late last year. My own fault, Bill. I was doing the weather for Channel 9, left my car unlocked, and as I'm doing the weather, three guys, they were young guys too, and that, you know what, I'd had a bit of an encounter with them where they'd given me a bit of cheek just before I went on air. They're like, "Hey, Lukey, let us do the weather for you," and I was like, "Sure, boys, come along and you can do it. I'll have the night off," and we'd had a bit of friendly banter. But not in a moment, not for a million years would have I thought that these boys were then going to go on to steal my car as I'm doing the weather. They jump in the car, steal it. Now, they're 17 years of age, 15, and I believe 14 years of age. Young guys, Bill. And the cops were able to track them down and ascertain them. And they weren't able to find my car, but at least they apprehended the offenders. And it turned out that they were already on parole. And part of their parole was they weren't allowed in Surfers Paradise. Well, the car was stolen underneath the Surfers Paradise sign in Surfers Paradise. You don't get any more in Surfers than that. And they went through the court system, basically got a smack over the wrist. There was they were in and out in 5 minutes. Does that surprise you? Because it's one thing to get this information that they're not abiding by parole. It's another thing to do something with it.
And indeed, that's one of the issues. A lot of people who have been victims of crime often think that, well, look, the court system itself must be effectively just doing smacks on the wrist, or it's a revolving door. The reality is, however, a little bit more different. Kids of that age don't set out or don't grow up to become criminals without a reason. And often those reasons are because they've got a pretty lousy home life. Often it's because mum and dad have had issues with alcohol or drugs, and they've transmitted that to the kids. And often you've got poverty, lack of education, and all sorts of issues. So the trouble is, whilst I'm sure that's a little comfort to you if your car's been stolen, the simple reality is that what the court is doing is, in fact, trying to direct resources into dealing with the causes of the crime, not just the crime itself.
No, I understand that, Bill, and to the point where, you know, when my car got stolen, as infuriated as I was that I, you know, had my car stolen, and to be honest with you, it wasn't even the car, it was what was in it that was more frustrating for me, but it actually broke my heart that one of the offenders was the exact same age as my daughter. And I just couldn't believe, or I couldn't, and I can't comprehend my daughter at that same age, 14 years of age, being involved in car theft. And so I actually asked the police, I said to the cops, I said, is there any chance I can talk to these guys? And they're like, oh, we're not going to let you talk to them. And I said, I don't want to smack them around or anything. I actually want to talk to them to try and help them get their life back on track. But the police said, we've tried that, Luke. We've already tried it. It doesn't work.
And I think that's often a frustrating thing. You know, they reckon one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing
right
over and over again, expecting a different result. And much of the issues these kids are facing are what the scientists refer to as a wicked problem. That is a problem where there's no easy solution. How do you put back, for example, like Humpty Dumpty, a broken egg? How do you put back a kid who's been bashed from pillar to post at home, whose parents have ignored them, and often they themselves have been the victims of sexual or other forms of abuse? And the simple truth of that is saying that you'll love them or understand them really is no substitute for no doubt what you're doing with your own daughter, which is a decent, loving home environment. If you don't have that, you're starting off right behind the eight ball.
But okay, so I'm willing to go down that track, Bill, to show empathy and where I can try and help with these youths that don't have the luxury of a great home life and might not be surrounded by love and all of the things that brings into your life. But this is what something else that the police told me, and I'd like your thoughts on it. They said to me, Luke, it's a waste of time. These guys will go on offending right up until they're 18 years of age, where there are real repercussions, because they're treated as an adult, and at that point they actually stop. Now that leads me to believe that effective punishment is actually a deterrent. What do you make of that?
Well, I make two things of that. One is I wish that was true, but the reality is that children offenders become adult offenders, and you send them or put them in jail. It's effectively the high school of crime before they graduate to the university of crime, that is jail as adults. The second thing is this. The nature of children is that they are going through a whole range of changes in their bodies, in their lives. Now, whether it's puberty, whether it's just simply maturing, you know, we would hope and no doubt encourage kids to take a sense of responsibility and to change. And I'm not sure that magically occurs when they're 18. The tragedy of these things is that I've acted for families where I've acted for granddad, the son and the grandson, and I often see coming up there in the rearview mirror, you know, kids are only five or six.
Wow.
In the same family, where in essence their entire attitude is that the law is there to be broken, and that more often than not, the problems that granddad has been visited all the way down through the generations.
No, you know what? It's an interesting chat we're having, Bill, because you hear so often, and it's so easy to say, oh, throw the book at him, chuck him in jail, get tougher. Interesting hearing your viewpoint as a man that's actually lived this life for many, many years and associated with, as you say, generational behaviour from families. Really appreciate your time this morning, Bill. Thank you so much.
Good morning to you listeners.
There he goes, Bill Potts from Potts Lawyers. Love to hear your thoughts on that. Can you bring yourself to show a bit of empathy towards these kids that are offending? We're paying the price for it as a society, but you hear what Bill's saying, that they don't have the luxury of what many of our kids do. But what do you make of it? Well, do you think we should just get tougher? Bill says that doesn't necessarily work. I don't know. It's such a complex issue, but love to hear your thoughts. 131-873 is the open line number. Luke Bradnam in the chair for Spencer Housen. And this is Weekend Breakfast on 4BC.